as we contemplate now specifically the message that we have for today, I'd invite you to find Isaiah 66. And I want to look at two verses there and see if God will give us some insights into his own heart and mind and help us to encourage our mothers today and be encouraged ourselves by the Lord. If you don't mind, let's stand. I want to read these two verses and you're hearing us honor God as we stand and his word is read, and then we'll ask him to help us to understand what he's saying to us. Isaiah 66, verse 12. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. Verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, we bow together in your presence. You see us. You know everything.
Yes, sir.
Our hearts are open before you as your word is open before our eyes. We need your help now. You know how easily we are distracted and how intently we want to learn from you. And so draw near to us, Holy Spirit. Would you keep this place safe?
Yes, sir.
As we give our attention to you, to learn from you today. Be free among us to do your will. For your glory and the good of our own souls, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. All right. Our subject for today is a mother's comfort. A mother's comfort. And by way of introduction, comfort is... consolation. Comfort is reassurance that's given to people who, when they're in distress, people that are experiencing anxiety. Comfort is given to people in need. And there are many circumstances in this fallen world where people need comfort, yes? People are lonely, they're worried, so much stress in our life, people are discouraged. People are struggling with poverty and sickness and disease, and we see the consequences of sin and death. And so many hearts need to be comforted. And you might remember that in Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, he compared his ministry to them to a mother. Listen at him. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. He says, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. And so there's there's things to be learned when we see the ministry of a mother to her child. Yes? And God likewise uses a mother's care for her children as an illustration of his care for his people. In Isaiah 49 and verse 15, listen to God ask this rhetorical question. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Obviously, the answer to that rhetorical question is what? No, mother is not going to forget her infant that needs her, in dire need of her. And he says, even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. And so God uses this care and compassion that that a mother has for her child, for you and I to understand how much he cares for us. Yes?
Amen.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. And so, as we think about then these introductory remarks, what I want to just say is that all of us have need of comfort at times.
Yes.
If you're not going to be disingenuous, then you will admit that you need comfort just like everyone else.
Yeah?
We all need comfort at times.
Yeah.
And so I want to gather our thoughts around these two big ideas. I want us to look at a mother's comfort for her children, and then we're going to see God's comfort for his children, all right? A mother's comfort for her own children, and then to see how God uses that to help us understand how he cares for us. This is tremendous, and I hope I can unpack this so that you will appreciate it. I want to begin. Tony mentioned something very wonderful in his prayer early on. And I want you to think about this. When we think about a mother's care for her children, it actually begins before birth. Yeah? And I want to show you what I mean by that. God has to actually give a woman the desire to care for her children. I know many times people say that it's natural, but anything good has come from God. Any good natural response in the human or the animal world has come from God, yes? We heard Pastor Tony talk about the animals and how they care for their young. Oh, where did that come from? God created everything, and he said it was what?
Good.
It was good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. And so Philippians 2:13, I believe it is, says, for it's God who works in you, right? God works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So it's God who puts the desire. When you find yourself desiring to do good, don't take credit for yourself. Have you ever had those times when you know the Holy Spirit was stirring you to do something, to call someone or to move here to do that, and you find out why? That's him working good. He's working the desire to do good, yes? And so it's God who gives that mother that desire and that ability to care for her own children. I just want to mention two or three examples. Many of you may know the story of Hannah in the book of Samuel, you know, Samuel's mother. Remember that? Samuel 1 there speaks of how Hannah wanted children, right? She longed for children, and yet she couldn't have them. The Bible uses the terminology that God had closed her womb. Yet she pleaded and prayed for a child. And you know that God answered that prayer, right? And gave her that beautiful child, Samuel, who grew up to be such a tremendous prophet and blessing to us. But where did the desire come from, right? Came from God. He gave her the ability to take care of that child. There's also... and there's a story in Luke chapter 1 of an elderly wife, Elizabeth, and she wanted to have children, but she and her husband Zechariah, the Bible said that they were elderly, right? She was beyond childbearing age. But do you remember that angel met Zechariah as he was ministering and told him that his wife was going to get pregnant and have a child? You remember, he was just so stunned. He didn't believe it. You remember that? The angel said, you will not speak. I told you what this miracle is going to happen. You didn't believe it. You will not speak until he's born. God gave Elizabeth that great desire and ability. And y'all know there was this little teenager named Mary, also in Luke 1, probably in her late teens, and the angel Gabriel came to her. Remember that? Told her about this miraculous way that she was going to conceive. And she was actually going to have the blessed privilege of mothering the incarnate Jesus. And she was awestruck too, wasn't she? Remember that? But after having that interaction with that angel, You remember how Mary concluded that discourse? Let it be to me according to your word. God has, he's settled the issue. God has given me the desire to do what you said. Even though it's far beyond my mind's ability to, you know, put it all together. If God gives me the desire, I just do it. Yes? And so God gives Mother this desire and the great ability to be a mom. As we also consider the care of a mom before birth, you know, a mother has to care for a child during pregnancy too, yes?
Yes.
Y'all remember that story? Now, you know, Elizabeth is pregnant miraculously, right, in her old age. And then Mary is miraculously impregnated, obviously a little different than Elizabeth. But they both find themselves pregnant, and the angel tells Mary about her relative Elizabeth. You remember, she goes to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant. She walks in the house. And y'all know the story, right? Elizabeth says, at your greeting, let's see if I write that down for you. At your greeting, the baby in my womb leaped. A six-month-old baby knew he was in the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
This is phenomenal,
amen,
isn't it? Now, why are you telling us that, Brother Willie? Because moms have to take care of babies through these periods of time. They have to settle baby down. I remember Philip used to be just as calm. We get in church and, you know, they'd sing prayers and reading the scriptures. But as soon as the choir started singing, he'd go crazy. And Alan would say, look at him. He'd just be kicking and carrying on. And so she'd, you know, start trying to settle him down. Moms have to do that. Moms have to care for babies before they're born. Yeah? Now, obviously, we men don't, we observe, you know. I'm not trying to say we fully understand. I was just watching it. I was watching what was going on, and it was just a mystery to me. She said, feel that, you know. It's just a mystery to think that mothers have to talk to unborn babies, right, and read to them and sing to them, have to rub them, and mothers have to eat properly and get proper rest, right, and medical assistance, all these things, all before the baby is born. That mother's caring for that baby even before the baby is born, yeah, providing comfort. There's just something that mom knows when that baby is upset, right, and knows how to comfort that unborn baby. It's wonderful, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Now, you need to track me because God says that I care for you the same way.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah? I'm not just stating facts here. Hopefully, you'll see that when God says something, it has plenty of meaning, right? Interwoven in there. So, we good so far?
Yeah.
A mother cares for a child before birth. But a mother also obviously has to care for a child after birth. That same situation with Hannah, 1 Samuel, the Bible talks about how she cared for Samuel as an infant, right? And weaned him and just nurtured him while he was a youth. You go on and you can follow the story of John the Baptist and Christ as they were young, so that they grew, their mothers cared for them, you know, took care of them while they were young. And then mothers have to care for children on into adulthood. It doesn't stop. There's a proverb. Did I write it down? There's a proverb 6:20, I believe it's. The Proverbs writer is cautioning the son not to forget his mother's teaching, right? A child, as they grow into adulthood, has to remember what they've been taught. And there are oftentimes, I realized that, Alma and I were trying to make sure that we instructed our sons right. And, you know, I was trying to make sure I reinforced what she taught and vice versa. And so those things carry on into adulthood, so that when you're talking to your children as adults, you know what you've taught them.
Amen.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. You see, the Bible, this is what biblical discipline is. Biblical discipline is when you have to apply a reproof or correction, you know you can do it because you've taught a child what's right.
Amen.
When they're doing what's wrong, and you know you've taught them what's right, then you can apply reproof and correction.
Amen.
Yeah? And so that's, even those of us who have adult children, that's the basis of it. You know you've taught them right, and so when you have to correct, it's on the basis of what they've been taught. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And so you mothers have to care for adult children. And Tony was talking about his reflections earlier. I thought about this. Mothers have to provide relief when children are hungry, yeah? When they are thirsty, mothers have to provide relief when they get cuts and when they're coughing. Mothers have to provide relief when they got stomach aches and when they've been bullied at school. Mothers have to provide, mothers have to provide relief when they got hair crisis, right? And clothing crisis and homework crisis and when they're bored. I remember I remember Philip in particular. Alma would plan out a day, and they would they'd go and spend all day at Six Flags. He'd come home and say, "What's next?" This is how his mind just keeps on, just keeps going. And so children get bored, right? They just get bored. And a mother has to find a way, right, to care for them when they are bored. It's real. And oftentimes a husband comes home and, you know, you ask how your day, you can't always relate to the response you get. When you've dealt with a bored child all day, yeah? And then mothers have to deal with biblical ignorance and teaching of the scriptures. Mothers have to deal with dating problems, right, and marital problems, and then the list goes on, because that mother's care continues on into adulthood. Mothers have to
start over.
Mothers have to do something different than mothers have to handle it when you have mix up like that. I should be where mothers comfort children when they are grateful. It's probably one before that. Dean, can you move it back a little? That's it. Right. By the way, those of you all who can't see this is, we're just getting some slides right here. A mother comforts a child when they're grateful, but a mother also has to comfort the child when they're ungrateful. Yeah? It doesn't always look pretty when a mother has to provide comfort, right? A mother comforts a child when the child is lovely, but a mother also has to comfort a child when that child is not, I couldn't think of another word other than unlovely. There's just times that you know what I'm saying. Your mother comforts a child when the child is cooperative or when the child is not cooperative, yeah? Now you've got to keep, you know, you're supposed to be listening to me. Because we're learning something about God's care, what?
For us.
God teaches a lot of lessons in the family, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. In this particular case, he says, I'm teaching you some things about the way mothers care for their children. Teaching you a lot about me, if you will simply pay attention to the way mothers care for their children. Yeah?
Amen.
And so, I leave that point with this. mothers comfort and care for their children in all aspects of life.
Amen.
Yeah? Mothers comfort and care for their children in all aspects of life. So, then let's then make the analogy that the Bible does as it compares then God's comfort for his children. Now you've got to, those things we just talked about, you've got to keep them, right? Just kind of keep them parked right there on that side of your brain that says, I want to remember this, okay? And so we want to then take a look at how God cares for us in light of what we just observed in a mother's care for her children. Now, this is the way I worded it. Just as a mother cares for her child before it's born, God cares for the sinner, right? He cares for us before we are born again, before we become believers. We couldn't, you had to survive in order to be saved.
That's right.
Some of the awful things that I did when I thought I was so slick. You ever done it? And you thought you were so clever until you were saved and you look back on it and you realize, I never would have made it through that if God hadn't been caring for me.
Yeah.
I thought it was me until I'm... You see, when you're in darkness, everything's about you.
That's right.
But when you come into the light of God's glory, it's about Him, and you realize He cared for me.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah? Before I was born again. So that's what I want to talk about for just a minute. God, now this text that we read, let me just make a comment or two. The text that we read, Isaiah is a prophet at a time when God's people have kind of spiraled down in their character. It's a tragic thing to see God, after having delivered this great, delivered this nation, and to see how they respond in such sin and rebellion. And at this point, the nation has been split, right? 10 of the tribes, yeah, I got to split off the northern, called the northern kingdom, and a small, couple of small tribes are called Judah. And so they're experiencing the consequences of their sin. Persecution and poverty and sickness is just tragic. But look at them. I want you to follow me here. But God still cared for them. Aren't you thankful that at those times when you find yourself having slipped or fallen, that God still cares for you? I remember when I was early saved, I can't remember who first helped me with this, but they helped me to see that God's love for you is not like a four-leaf clover. Y'all ever do those four-leaf clovers when you were growing up? The younger folks probably don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But Greg, he loves me. What?
He loves
you now. You know, you don't know how many petals, how many you got there, but you hope you end up with what?
He loves me.
Well, God's not like that. Once God sets His electing love on you, it'll never leave.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I'm so thankful He's not fickle.
Amen.
His love isn't dependent upon my faithfulness. It depends upon Christ's faithfulness, right?
That's right.
That's my righteousness.
That's right.
Isn't that your righteousness?
Amen.
His perfections have been imputed, have been given to me. And God loves me because of Him. He's my intercessor. There's one between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And He stands there.
Yeah.
God loves me through Him. Thank God for that.
Amen.
He looks at me through the prism of Christ and He sees a saint.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And He set that love on us and He does not change.
Right.
Now, I didn't mean to go down that road, but just I want you to keep that in mind when we look at the statement here. God's people were still God's people. They were still God's children, and they needed His comfort even though they had sinned and fallen. Just like that child. That mother knows, she's told that child not to touch this thing, right? Or don't do that. And they turn it over, they spill it, they break. All of the things that go on. But that mother still cares for that child. Even though you broke, that was, I had that for 10 years. And you broke it. You ever, it's an amazing thing how God can test you with your love for children. But that mother goes on and loves that child even though there was great disappointment. Yeah. And so God loves us even though we fail. And so here we find him saying to Judah, who has fallen so deeply into sin, he says, comfort, comfort my people. See that right there? God, and what he does, I can't read that. That's the right place. Okay. God comforts with his presence. That's not right. Now we've got, I'm too far there. God comforts with his presence. No, I'm sorry. God faithfully provides the necessities of life for those that have not been born again. That's where I meant to be. When there's a verse in Matthew chapter 5. The verse says, God makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, right? And sends his rain on the just and the unjust. Is that right? This is a phenomenal verse in Luke chapter 6. I think it's near the end of verse 35. And it says, he is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Look at that verse sometime. Isn't that phenomenal? God is kind to the ungrateful and evil. You say, well, why is that so important? Because that was me. And 28 years of selfish living, living for me, doing what I wanted to do, cared less about who was hurt or whoever got in the way. Yet God was kind. And the Bible says it's the kindness of God that leads us to what? Repentance. Now, mothers and fathers, all of us have to learn that. There's a lesson to be learned there when we're raising children. Yeah. The yelling doesn't lead to repentance.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't we know that?
Yes.
Now, I am not dissuading anybody from discipline. You know that. God encourages us to discipline. Yes. I'm saying that you don't bring anybody to repentance by yelling at them. See, eventually a child will know that your discipline was kind. Kind means useful. Did you know that's what? So typically when we think of kind, we think of something touchy-feely. No, the word kind means useful. A child will eventually know that discipline you gave me was useful for me. And that will lead them to repentance. It took me a lot of years with my own dad to realize that what he did for me was useful. Because at the time I could not stand. Yes?
Amen.
And so we learn from mothers. You see that Jesus fed thousands, right? That would not believe. He healed many that would not believe. He preached and taught to many that would not believe. He encourages. Now this is before people are born. He encourages unbelievers who have sensitive hearts. You remember the story of the soldier that had the sick, the servant that was sick? You remember that? He came to Jesus and Jesus healed the servant. He was sensitive to that heart of that soldier. Jesus was going, I believe, passing through Jericho. You remember that story? There's a short man there. He was a tax collector. The Bible says rich. But he's little. And so in this massive crowd, he wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't. So what did he do? The Bible says he found a sycamore tree. Now, that's amazing that the Bible would record what kind of tree it was. He could just say he found a tree.
Yeah.
But the Bible says he climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. Now, nobody else noticed him, but who noticed him?
Jesus.
Nobody else cares about this little man. Matter of fact, if you're a tax collector, you're hated. You're despised. But Jesus took note of him. didn't he?
Amen.
Right. Nicodemus, you remember Nicodemus? He was a religious leader. He was too ashamed to go and interact with Jesus by in the daytime, so what? He sneaked out at night. Remember that? Jesus answered his questions, didn't he?
Yes.
How can I be born again?
Right.
Jesus answered his questions. Do you remember the blind man? Heard Jesus was passing by and he just said, have mercy on me. Did Jesus stop?
Yes.
Well, Brother Billy, what are you saying? Even before we are born again, God has great cares for us. He stops, he pays attention to us. 1 Corinthians 1 says that not many of you were a noble or powerful, right? Or wise, as the world counts it. He said, but many of you were foolish and weak and low. Those are the ones that God paid attention to before we were born again.
Yeah.
Now, I hope you're tracking this, because it's the same analogy as we see with a mother. Just as a mother comforts and cares for her unborn baby, God too comforts and cares for others. What he says, you're familiar with this verse? In Jeremiah 29, he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Lastly then, God also comforts and cares for his children after we've been born again.
Amen.
After
Amen.
The new birth. Thank God for that. After. That's the point I was getting to with, I got a little ahead of myself before, with Judah's rebellion. You see, after we've been born again, even though we fail, we still belong to God.
Amen.
And he still cares for us. And so he did with Judah. Judah belonged to God and he cared for them, even though they had fallen into sin. And so this is the verse I was referencing. Comfort, comfort my people. God was longing for his people to be comforted, even though they were in rebellion. And that mother looks at that child, and even though that child is just as stubborn as they can be, that mother still wants to comfort that child, even though she's got to discipline.
Amen.
And the child doesn't always understand that as love and comfort, do they? I've been on the end of that. Now see, I don't know how y'all raise children up here in the city, but I grew up in the country. And so on the other end of a switch, it doesn't feel like comfort at the time. you've been whipped with a switch?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
No, have
you? Yes.
They talk about corporal punishment?
Yeah.
I don't think the whipping was good until there was some blood.
Right.
You see, y'all grew up in the city. See, in the where I grew up, you had to go cut your switch.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah? And I remember I came back with a little one. One time. That's a mistake. Yeah? That was a mistake. Now my mom has to go cut the switch. I'm going down the wrong road here. I'm going to tell you one more time. I remember, you know, my dad, among many things, used to cut hair. And so in his barber shop, he had a razor strip. And that was his preferable instrument. And I got in some bad trouble once. And I decided I was going to run. But my dad caught me. I never ran again. I came to see that was useful for me. And at the time, it didn't feel like it. But I learned how much he was caring for me later on. Yeah? And so it is with moms and how we have to, how they have to care for even stubborn children. God comforts with his presence, with his power, with his provisions, and with his promises. What do you mean by that, Brother Willie? God comforts with his presence. You remember what Jesus said? I'm with you what? Always. Right? Even to the end of the age. Jesus, it says that Jesus says, I will never leave you, nor what? forsake you. So his presence, God is ever present with us. And his power is comforting. You remember when the angel came to Mary? He said to her, nothing will be impossible with God, right? Nothing. And then he shows us how much he's going to provide. At the end of Philippians, you remember what Paul said to the church? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And that provides comfort for me.
Yes.
When there's more money, more month than money.
Amen.
When you're sitting there trying to figure out how it's going to end, and you have to trust that God is going to help you move into next month, just like he brought
you
into this one.
That's right.
Doesn't he do it?
Yes,
he's faithful to provide. And then he comforts us with his power. With his promises. You remember in Titus 1, I believe it is, he says that it's impossible for God to lie. Thank God
That's
for
right.
that. God
That's
cannot
right.
lie. And so I conclude that point with the fact that mothers and all other believers need God's comfort. Yeah? We need God's comfort. Just remember that God comforts and cares for his children in all aspects of life too. In conclusion then, my brother, my sister, let's say this. We are thankful today that God gives mothers both the desire and the ability to comfort her children. Amen?
Amen?
Yes, we are. We are so thankful that mothers willingly make this great sacrifice to comfort their children before and after birth. We are so thankful that mothers comfort and care for their children in so many various ways throughout the various phases of life into adulthood. But even more so, we are so immensely thankful that God kept comforted and cared for us before we were born again.
Amen. Yes.
And even more so, we are grateful for the multitude of ways that God comforts and cares for us as children after we surrender to Christ in salvation. This is the way the psalmist said it. Listen to it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Yes.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits.
Yeah.
Who pardons all your iniquities.
Yes.
Who heals all your diseases.
Yes.
Who redeems your life from the pit.
Yes.
Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Never forget what he's done for you. God took care of us before and after we've been saved. And the Bible says that he promises to safely take us home. He is keeping us for that great inheritance that's being preserved in glory right now. Just as you hopefully learn to treasure your mother's comfort, everyone here ought to treasure the comfort of God. And if you're not a Christian, I'll say this to you. You have not experienced the comfort of God as a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you have not experienced how God can care for you as one of his children. But that can all change today. It can all change right now. God can bring you out of darkness into his light right here in this room. He could bring you from slavery to sin and Satan into liberty, the liberty that's found in Christ. He could deliver you today, never again to be enslaved again. This Mother's Day could be the greatest day of your life, my friend.
Yes.
Just believe that Christ loves you. Believe that Christ came to save you. Just believe, and you will be saved. Our Father, we want to thank you for the great grace that we've come to know in Christ, and thank you for the comfort that we experience in you. Lord, keep us from presumption and error in our thinking. We long to grow in our love for you and our peace and joy. Be glorified here today in what we say and do. We ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen.
Amen.